Thank you for coming to my website today. This is PJ, your internet pastor. I've been checking out the computer and looking at these fires burn in my state, checking out all the mayhem that's going on around in Northern California, Southern California, Yosemite National Park, and the other states that are on fire. Now, I understand we got firemen coming to California all the way from Florida to try to put this thing out. Wow. Going to listen to a little jazz today, and you're going to listen to a lot of jazz, guys. And then I'll just pop in and give you my perspective of what's going on, and then you can tell me what you think about it. Now, I'm going to tell you that my view is going to be clouded a little bit by an apocalyptic type of view, because while I was a pastor in the Protestant church, we looked at weather patterns like this and all these kinds of things that was happening, and we had to give some kind of classical definition to it. Well, we're going to start off this frame of reference by listening, first of all, now to some Ramsey Lewis, "And I Love Her." Ramsey? Ramsey Lewis on the piano. One of the most prolific jazz musicians in the history of African-American jazz. Ah. Yeah. Thank you. Ramsey Lewis, and I Love Her. Yeah. Good music, good jazz. Thank you for coming to my website, johnecoleman.org. Yeah, I like that. Listen, we'll get back to the music in a little bit. But first of all, I'd like to say thank you. I really appreciate those of you that are coming back to listen to me. I guess I'll give you a checkup right now. Here it is, going into August. I guess the surgery's doing good. I'd love to feel better. I'm still not satisfied with it. I'll speak to my cardiologist about that. No, I'm not going to ask him to go back in and do anything. I guess I have to live like this the rest of my blooming life. That's what I have to do. But anyhow, I want to talk about some current events here. Some serious, serious stuff. Because what we're looking at right now in California, there has been fires in the state. Every year I notice how the fires are burning, and it's real serious. But this year, this kind of fire that's burning is devastating. I'm sitting here trying to do some things. If you hear some sounds on the microphone, you know PJ is always busy in the studio, and I'm trying to do something as I speak with you, and that's the way I roll, so I apologize. I know it sounds crazy, and I'm not trying to, you know, become Mr. Popular. I don't want to do that, but I think that what's happening here and in Greece and in Europe and in all over the world is because of what man has done. I, being a Christian, and I identify myself as that, I cannot identify myself as a Christian unless I ascribe to the Christian mandate. And the Christian mandate is the Bible, the Word of God. There is no other mandate. That's how, and that's where I pick up my cues from. I read in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel, the apocalyptic books in the Old and New Testament. I read about future events that are going to take place, and I'm telling you, history has never been wrong. You know, I'm looking at all these things and I'm saying, oh my goodness, what is this, the end of the world? Because it looks like it. The firestorm in California, when that fire was burning, I want to tell you guys something. Firenadoes, and not tornadoes, it was a fire swooping firenado. I had never seen one of those in my 74 years of life. And I got to share with you the thing that really grabbed me as I looked at most of those clips is the lack of acknowledging of a divine entity in all of that. Yeah, I heard a few people saying, oh my God, because, you know, you're driving through a firestorm and outside of your car is heating up and you're feeling a little uncomfortable, but no one acknowledged God in a positive way. No acknowledgement of God in a positive way. The only recognition that there was a God was when it appeared as hard trauma was coming your way. You know, like, oh my God, don't let this come my way. Something like that. But not, oh my God, you're to be praised and all that kind of thing. Nothing like that at all. And that to me stands out. You know, when the reporter comes around and talks to the people that's lost everything, there was a couple of people that said, oh, we'll rebuild, we'll get that back. But none of them said something like, Well, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was as if, don't ask me to acknowledge God for what's happening here, because quiet is kept. I'm thinking like, you know, maybe I'm supposed to disdain God a little bit from what I've lost. Lost my house and everything in it. I thought about it as I was in my quarters, in my sleeping quarters, in my bedroom. I was looking at my dresser drawer. I was looking at the TV. I was looking at all the things, and I said, I wonder how this little portion of square footage would look if all this were burned to ashes. And really, I'm going to tell you, there would be nothing but the metal from the clothes hangers in the closet that my suits were hanging on, if I still had metal hangers. But other than that, it would be plastic, and the clothes, everything would be gone. You know, I thought about what those people were saying. Everything in their house is gone. I want you to think about whether you're living in an apartment or a house. Everything is gone. Burn up to ashes. I mean, kerplunk. Gone. That's a hard road to plow, people. I want to tell you, I don't wish that on anyone. But I'm going to tell you, I take this view. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord gave you the power to make the money to buy the stuff. And I'm really thinking seriously, is the American population so thankful to God for what God has done that they are openly sharing what they have with a lot of people that do not have? Are we those kinds of people? Is this why there is no fond recognition of God? That's what I'm thinking. And I don't know, I could be wrong. I don't think I am. I just do not believe that. Well, let's continue to listen to some jazz. Okay, the Roy. Who am I listening to? Well, let's listen to some music, and then I'll be back with some more of these questions. Be right back. Jazz all the same. So, what's your take on it? Do you think that God has anything to do with these fires going all through our country in Greece? Think God had anything to do with that? Think about those people running from the fire. The fire comes up from behind them, runs them to the seashore. It reminded me when the volcano went off and covered the city of Pompeii back in the Old Testament, the New Testament days. These people running into the ocean and there was absolutely nowhere to go. Some of them got burned up because there was a cliff and they couldn't go down the cliff in the middle of the night. Was this God or was this what? The earthquakes, the floods that had taken place all over the country? You know the earthquakes. Look at Laos. Look at Cambodia. Look at the disasters that are taking place. I mean, we are living in a world today where...
By the Staples singers by now.
Oh, wait a minute. Listen.
And we've been strongly influenced by Roebuck Staples, who is the father, leader, and director of the Staples singers. Composer of this tune. It's called Why Am I Treated So Bad?
By Cannonball Adderley. This is back in the day. Check it out. Why am I treated so bad? It's a kind of a thing. You know, when you really think of it, I think people all over the world, we've forgotten how dependent we are upon God for everything. And I'm thinking that I just got to say it. I think every country where all of my brothers and sisters live, we've turned our back on God. I had to ask myself the question, what if a fire came and ransacked my house and burned everything up? What if I didn't even have an extra pair of underwear, a pair of socks? My car's burned up. My wallet's burned up. All the credit cards in it. All my information. If I have any money in the electronic system called a bank, what if their system is burned up? I can't get fresh water. What if I couldn't get any of this? Lord, why am I treated so bad? Cannonball Adderley, back in the 60s. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't complain. I would say to God, whatever you're doing, you deserve to do, and whatever I'm receiving, I deserve to receive. Because I worship the Most High. What the Most High says is, check out, John, how you living. Check out how you treating people. Check out what your disposition is in all of this chaos. I was talking with a young black man, and he said, why are you concerned about what them white people are feeling? See? That showed me right there. There goes Harcourt. That showed me right there that God has to judge us. We have the wrong perspective. And as long as we have that wrong perspective, white against blacks, Chicanas against this, and Guatemalans against and killing and all that stuff, well... My dog is doing what he has to do. But why are you treating me so bad? I'll let you listen to Cannonball Adderley. I'll be back in a tick. Thank you. Thank you, Cannonball. You know what? I'm going to read some scripture to you. And maybe that'll kind of like hone you in on where I'm coming from. Okay? Catch up with an old man's mind and see what has influenced him, how he comes to weigh the situation of the world that he lives in. I was even looking at an article earlier where it says that the West Coast is long overdue for a major seismic event. Major. I mean, tsunami and everything. Scientists, legitimate individuals, talking about the season is long overdue for those two plates that's on the West Coast there. Seattle would be gone. Frisco would just be dissolved in an instant. And what do? We build our cities right on the coastline. Los Angeles is a basin. Sea level is low. True tsunami come in, just swallow us. Kill hundreds and thousands of people. One swoop. Don't say it can't happen because you saw what happened in 2005, I believe it was, the tsunami in Japan. Just yesterday, right? We forget so quickly. These catastrophes are coming in, and these tornadoes. I mean, I remember there used to be tornadoes in the Midwest, and we would get used to them, but not swooping down like these things. 3 and 4 and 5 of them. Why am I treated so bad? Cannonball Adderley. We're going to continue to listen to some music as we talk about this. I like this.
Why am I treated so bad?
Yeah.
Those of you know that the piano, ladies and gentlemen, featured on that.
Well, we're going to continue to listen, and I'm telling you that I love me some good music, and I love playing good music and responding to good music, and I hope that you do too, and I hope that you can enjoy me on this webcast as I bring forth these ideas, these reasons, so to say, for why we should get serious about our lives. What if a major catastrophe comes in the city where we live? Albeit New York, okay, Birmingham, Fort Lauderdale, whatever the crises may be. And I'm not talking about some gunman shooting. We've lived through enough of that, haven't we? Human beings are just distasteful and showing ill manners towards other human beings. Sometimes you really got to give some thought and say, you know, what's going on out there? What is it, something in the air? I mean, why? I have a suggestion. And this is it. Years ago, the parent of many children put down with great calamity the idea of God. We threw him out. We threw him out of the picture altogether. We don't want to think about God. We don't want to affirm him, acknowledge him. The only time we do is when we get religious and go to church and you know, a baby dies, grandma's dying. And Harcourt, was that you out there making all that noise? I love you anyhow. You know, but that's what we do. We only call on God when, oh, my God, my world's falling apart. Let everything remain the way it should remain for me. I hear you, Harcourt. I hear you, boy. But I think that there's something more than that. And there's something more than I'm aiming at. It's not just the structure of our society, but the content or the development of the human heart. These are some of the things that we are to give vent to instead of giving vent to sensationalism. Everything is sensationalism. We need to slow down. We need to get serious. We need to accept the fact that we have turned our backs. I'm talking about Americans. That's what happened to our country. Now, you know, some of the millennials that tell you, oh, we didn't turn our back on God and God is punishing us for that. America's always been corrupt. No, it hasn't. America's always had sinful people in it, people that are totally depraved, people that love money more than people that love their life more than God's life. We've always had that. It come in the form of black people, white people, Hispanics, Asians, all four food groups. We've all contributed to that. But there's something dangerous that's taken place in our country. And the dangerous thing that has taken place in our country is we have, with uniformity, turned our backs on the divine. We no longer want to believe that there is a divine entity that we are accountable to. We refuse to believe it. I quoted it the other day. The lack of conformity to the revealed will of God and the refusal of the creature to be related to his creator by faith. Thank you, Saint Origen, some 150 or 200 years after Christ died on Calvary, for defining that, because as they were wrangling with how to define what is it that human beings have done, you refuse to conform to God. It's like God is this God trying to make you become vaccinated and so that you won't die. And you refuse to be inoculated with God. You want to be inoculated with everything else. And I'm telling you, the further and further we get away from that old-time religion, because that's what made America great, was that old-time religion. I was looking at a special documentary, and there's a prison in the South, and what the warden does, because the warden says that I found out that it works, is that he has true biblical preachers piped in the system speaking to these men. These men are in jail for years, 20, 30 years, some of them for the rest of their lives. So the warden came up with this idea. Look, I grew up in a situation in a town where this message redeemed most of us, and it kept us calm, and I think that's a great thing to do. I don't think you're, as a matter of fact, there's a liquor store in Inglewood on Over Street at that La Tejera, right before you get to Centinella. There's a liquor store, and there's some Christians that own a business, a carpet business, right next to the liquor store. And he has 24-hour preaching, the Word of God coming out there. So when you park in the lot to go in the liquor store to buy some booze, the Word of God is being proclaimed. Now, I think that's a little far-fetched. I can buy a bottle of wine, and I'm not doing anything sinful and stuff like that, but let me get behind the wheel with the whole pint of that in my system. I can kill somebody And so the Christians are trying to forewarn them or to let them know, at least be cognitive about your fellow citizens. We in this day and age are not thinking about any of our fellow anything. We live for ourselves. We're selfish. And you see that idea rampant throughout the church. I mean, I thought that stuff would ease up. Something would happen would get them to ease up. No, nothing is causing them to ease up. They have this attitude that they can do whatever they want to do, to whomever they want to do it to, whenever they want to do it. There is no consequence. That's why, you know, when you think about these youngsters killing each other in the beloved city of Chicago and Illinois, what is going on? You know, you might come to the point where you say, what's wrong with our young black people killing each other like that? Well, look at their families. Look, if you can call it a family, where are the godly men that used to lead in our community? Yes, they used to lead. They're all dead. They died. I recall once, I had a lot of young men in the church, and they were out of hand. They had a lot of single mothers, and the mothers couldn't cope with them. And I had a deacon, Peter, I gave him the youngsters, and he's trying to be their friend. And I recall I took over that class, and one of them boys was just a whirlwind. He was just... So what I did, I stood him in the corner, made him face the wall, like my teachers did me when I was a kid, like that. He'd complain, I'd put him in the closet and turn out the light. In the dark closet. Oh, my goodness. Some of the people wanted to bring an accusation for child cruelty. I said, child cruelty, my behind. This boy's not listening to anything anybody is saying. And the only thing that he can understand is some form of corporal punishment, not to break his will, but to break his motive of trying to think that he can do whatever he wanted to do. We need to exercise that kind of jurisdiction in the lives of people. Since we won't do it because we've gotten all liberal, God is doing it for us. We got a president that's not too swift. He doesn't believe in global warming. That's half of the problem here. We're killing our planet. So the planet, nature itself, is rebelling against everything. The fire season here in Southern California is just getting started. It's not going to be over until the mid or the end of October. So we got a long time. We got many weeks to experience this. And don't think that the city proper itself cannot be burned. I'm looking at this news and everything because you got a lot of towns up north in Northern California. But that fire's burned, I think I heard something on the computer today said that it burned an area that is as large or wide as the city of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. Friends, let me tell you something. That's a heck of a lot of stuff burn up. Children, all of their stuff burn up. All of their clothes. There's a police chief in one of the cities up Northern California. His house was burned up. He got two teenage children. Just, come on. But now, cops, police, maybe that's a warning that you need to look deep down in. But what is all this? You're shooting these people, and I'm not talking about that young man that was running from the cop with the gun in his pants, because when they see a gun, I saw the video, they saw the gun, I saw the gun, they said stop running, he wouldn't stop running, he's reaching for it, they had no other option but to shoot that black man down. That's the law. Now, come on now. You want to throw out the law because he's black? If he was a Nazi running down the street, you wouldn't say throw the law out? See, you know, we got our favorite people. You know, all the shooting going on in these states over here. And then, you know, you're saying, why is all this bloodshed going on around us? Well, the bloodshed is going on around you because people believe in those old Confederate statues and all that kind of stuff. Now the liberals come through there. We don't want to look at it. Well, you know what I say. Don't look at it then. Go the other way. Man, you know, sometimes you can have a white neighbor and they come from the South. What if their father or their great-great-great-grandfather was R.G. Lee? And old R.G. provided everything for them. Are they supposed to hate R.G.? Because he was on the side to keep the slaves emboldened in slavery and terrible stuff. Come on, it's time for us to wake the hell up here. Oh. I'm just talking. This is my webcast. This is my time. Let me grab this book that talks about... Let me see if I still have one in my library. Here it is right here. Oh! Now let me grab some readers to put on so that I can read it. And while I'm looking it up, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to play some more jazz. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Get him to play some more here. Now we're going to listen to some... I think I'll listen to some Dwight Tribble radio. Let's see what Dwight Tribble got to say. To know Dwight Tribble is to love Dwight Tribble. I was going to hear him sing in a concert, and an elderly Jewish man said, "You like him? All he's doing is just yelling. What is he saying?" Well, you got to get into him. And this is him singing a nice number called Ishmael, Dwight Tribble, from an album called Living Water. It's a very interesting tune. All right, I want to read from this text of Scripture right here, Matthew chapter 22, verses 7, excuse me, verses 37 through 39. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That means love God with everything you have. Heart, soul, and mind. Intellect, will, everything that you have. Love God with that. Then Jesus goes on and says, "This is the first and greatest commandment." See, and greater than you loving your family, loving all that materialism, loving all that junk that got burned up, loving all this junk that's going to get burned up and washed away. He says, and the second is like unto it. What do you think the second commandment is that's likened to the first? The first one is loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, intellect, everything. The second one is like the first one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ah. And then he says, all the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. This was America's religion. This was America's faith. This is what kept America safe during those years. I know racism was rampant. I know that inequality was running through the streets like hot potatoes. I know that. If I was called a nigger in 1944, I'd be called a black nigger in 2018. But I've been given a command to love my God, my Lord, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all of my mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Do I do that? Yes. How do I prove that? By holding to the second, and to love my neighbor just as I love myself. My neighbor is that Somali whose country's ravished by war. That Somali that got them little kids that you put on a boat in the Mediterranean trying to get away from the bloodshed, the murder, the mayhem, and all of that. And you're coming up on the coastline of Greece, and they call those Somalis raisin heads, dirty niggers. We don't want them in our country. We take them somewhere else. We can't take the overflow. If we keep giving to them, we won't have anything left for ourselves. Hold up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Do you people in Greece love God like that? Do you? Then the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, when that black man climbed that building to save that French baby, because the baby was hanging, you all saw that. They praised that black man as Spider-Man from where was he from? Syria? Gave him a job in the fire department, let him be on all the news stations. And that man, that don't mean diddly squat. Do you love all people that you come in contact with? They have hearts, souls, families. I believe that all this judgment is coming on America because we used to be the leaders in love. We would feed these countries. Now what we want to do is, and I understand what you mean by the law, because you can't have just anybody coming in your country, but building a wall and taking people's children and locking them up and causing that kind of heart. You know what? It's no wonder God is burning this place up. It is no wonder. And nobody's saying it on the news. Nobody wants to talk about this. Nobody even wants to address the fact that we could be doing something dangerously wrong. Oh, yes. Wait a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, Christ's love compels us because we were conceived that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We have no business living for ourselves. I saw a clip on the news. Oh, they got a little girl handing out burritos and tacos to the fire workers. Look, let me tell you something. Little sister wouldn't be doing that if her daddy's house wasn't burned to the ground. Don't be trying to show that on the newsreels to ease your dirty conscience about what's going on. We got people homeless in the streets of Los Angeles. Every time I drive through downtown Los Angeles, and then the yuppies or whatnot have moved back in the major downtown area, and we push the bus station, everybody, we push them over onto the brink of extinction. Some of us have given up our profession of faith. In Joshua chapter 22, verse 5, it says, be very careful to keep the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, and to obey his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with your whole heart and with your whole soul. Has America done that? Have we done this in Southern California? Our children have lost their way. Our children, and you know what? You can't beat them, you can't torture them, you can't do, there's no room for God in them. All right. You trying to be, wait a minute, let's play some more music. Wait, I want to read one more scripture. John 14, 23 and 24. Jesus replies again. He said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him and will come to him, and we will make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, Jesus says. They belong to the Father who sent me. See, and so we have to give vent to what is correct, what is true, and what is righteous. We don't believe in that anymore, do we? No. I know. It is true,
and for me,
and for you,
the world is a ghetto.
That's a group called War. this truth? Yeah, for me and for you, that the world is a ghetto. The world is a ghetto. That's what war is singing about. But you know what the Word of God says about that? You know what the Word of God says? Listen, listen, listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body, the spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Does that make sense to you? It makes an awful lot of sense to me. Purify yourselves before God. That's what we need to do. That's what America needs to do. Not only America, but anyone that is dealing with America. You see, we live in a world where people say, you don't have to listen to what John is saying. What John is saying is past. John is trying to levy some guilt on us. Nothing's going to happen to us. The world is going to be just, no. Were you listening to those fire chiefs that were saying this firestorm is something like, this is the new reality. This is the new reality. And you know what? I don't believe that anyone is going to be listening until something tremendously horrible takes place. Let's listen to Kool and the Gang now, singing a number called Winter Sadness. Kool and the Gang.
Roasting in the air, that doesn't snow, she's almost here. Winter sadness, winter sadness.
Yeah, winter sadness. Listen, thank you for coming to my website today. I just thought that I'd lay that out there. Because you know why? Because we don't pay enough attention to important things. We don't do that. We kind of shove that aside. We don't think that those important believisms that kept us and sustained us will sustain us anymore. Well, join with me as we watch our entire society go down the toilet, because that's what's going to happen. And you know what? America could repent. But will she? Just like the Greeks and the Europeans and the rest of them, you've let so many generations go by without keeping these traditions that brought about a moral sense of how to live in the world amongst people. Now it does not exist. So be thankful for what you got, all right? Be thankful. William Devon. I'm out. Bye-bye.
TVA tells us in the back, you may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you got.
See how Christianity even developed in our music years ago. Though you may not drive a fancy car.
Big Cadillac, diamond in the back.
Listen.
Big in the same.
But the gangster lane.
Gangster white wall.
Gangster white wall.
TVA tells us in the back. You may not have a car at all, but remember,
brothers and sisters,
you can still stand tall.
Thank Think about what I said, people. Think about what I said. Think about it now. Because when judgment comes this way, I saw some beautiful cars burn up on people's property this morning. Sunroof. Yeah. All that stuff that made you happy, when it's gone, you gonna be happy then? Well,
call every